glad you're here. My name is Ashley Jennings. I'm one of the pastors here. This is Cody Bren, my co-pastor, and we have been in a series called Better Together, and this is about relationships, all kinds of relationships. And so my husband Matt last week did a great job addressing a biblical understanding of sex, so you can listen on the podcast if you weren't here for that. That's on our app. Also, the week before that, we kind of gave the foundation to what healthy relationships need. So if you need those things or you miss those, please go back and listen. But this week, we're going to talk about our families, okay? And I don't know about you, but this morning, I don't know about Sundays, how it goes in your house, but it is like, you would not know I was a pastor from the time of like 7 to 8 a.m. Like the pastor title goes out the window and it's just like Dragon Lady, okay? That's what we call me from 7 to 8. And Matt's like not in here, but he'd be like, amen. It is ridiculous. And I'm trying, guys, but I swear, Sunday mornings, getting the kids out is just like, what are we even doing right now? You know, all of a sudden they don't want to wear the shoes and the whatever. So as we're getting ready this morning, I'm like, I need this word today. The one that I'm about to preach to you, the Holy Spirit is preaching to me, okay? So we're just so excited to address family relationships. I need it. I don't know about you.
Yeah. We're going to be reading today out of the book of Nehemiah. That's chapter 4, 13 through 20. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. It's the first third of your Bible, if you have that. Otherwise, you can follow along with the verses up on the board. I'll give you a second to turn there if you have your physical Bible. Otherwise, like I said, feel free to read along with us. Here we go. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who was great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we're widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." Mm-hmm. This is one of, I think Ashley and I both, one of our favorite books in the Bible, one of our favorite stories in Scripture. It's just absolutely so rich and can be applied to so many different areas of our lives. But the main truth that we really want to pull out of this passage today is that families are better together when they fight for each other. Families are better together when they fight for each other. And so we have to ask a question in order to answer this thing, right? And in order to unpack this well. And that question is, how can a family fight well? How can a family fight well?
Yeah, the book of Nehemiah is about God restoring his people. And so he put on Nehemiah's heart to go back to their city, the city of Jerusalem, that had been destroyed, and rebuild the wall. And so this is Nehemiah, this passage, he's like giving the, you know, pep talk to them. The enemies are coming, they're feeling the threat. And so he's like, this is how we're going to accomplish this in the midst of these threats. And so we look at our first point today. We want to know, how can a family fight well together? I think we see in this passage that we have to first fight the right enemy. We have to fight the right enemy. Okay, so if you notice in verse 13, Nehemiah says, go out and be stationed in the exposed places of the wall. All right, so I picture like the wives and children. He says, your families are there. You take your family unit and you're going to work and you're going to go over to the low places and the exposed places where the enemy could get into our city. So go fight at the low places of the wall. And then In verse 15, he talks about how God kind of frustrates this plan and that they, you know, of the enemy, and that the people had to go back and work, right? If you read the rest of that, work with one weapon in one hand, a shovel in the other, okay? So they are prepared to fight the right enemy. And in the same way, we have to fight the right enemy in our families. A lot of times we don't fight for our families, we fight with our families, right? Right, right, and we, I mean, we're talking like immediate, but also extended families. And so, you know, I want to read this verse to you in Ephesians. It says, "We do not fight flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil." Who's heard that verse before? Right, it's a verse that kind of comes out like, oh, we know that there's a spiritual battle going on, but how many of you, when you're talking to your husband, forget about the right enemy and just looking straight, you're like, this is my enemy, or the one right in front of me, right? Make an enemy out of your family member. I have written here that how many times do we go in circles in conflict in our marriages, in our families, in our extended families? Do you ever, raise your hand if you've ever gone in a circle, have the same conversation for years, and you're just like, I'm so sick of it. I would wager that we are not fighting with, but fighting, or fighting for, but we're fighting with our family, right? So we're gonna unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah, so my first year of marriage, my wife's in here. Good job, honey, we did good, right? So our first year of marriage, we fought a lot, and mostly it was my fault. I'm gonna say that, it's fine. Like, it's true. So we fought a lot in our first year of marriage, and we both had drastically different backgrounds growing up, right? My family was like whoever yelled the loudest won, right? And Jessica's family, they just hashed it out and everybody was good. And I was like, how, nobody wins though, so what's the point of fighting if nobody gets to win, right? And so, and I would get like super triggered by like the dumbest things. Like I'd be trying to put together like a bookshelf from Target or something.
Which is all of our first year
right.
of marriage.
And so like, I'm putting this thing together and like the screws never line up. And like they give you those little nails that are like a joke. Like I can't hold this stinking nail to like tap, tap, tap. And I got to do 45 of those stupid things. Like I hated that. And so Jessica sometimes being the loving, kind wife that she is would come up and be like, everything okay? You do it? You need some help? And, no, I don't need any help! Don't you see that I have this little nail and it's going great, isn't it? Like, get out of here, you know, like I freak out, you know? And so eventually, sorry, I just blew the whole system out, I know, and nobody's used to me being that loud. But literally, that's how loud I would be sometimes. I would yell, like scream, it was bad. I was not in a good place. And it took that first year of marriage for us to realize we need to fix something here because we're fighting with each other way too often. We're not fighting for each other. And so, what I ended up realizing is that, you know what, we were fighting lies in each other that the enemy had placed early on in our lives. I wasn't fighting my wife. She wasn't fighting me. She was fighting all the junk in my life, all the lies that I believed about myself, like I wasn't good enough. So then when she came and offered her help, it would be like, you don't think I'm good enough? What is that supposed to mean? It's like, instead of just understanding, yeah, you know, I probably could use some help. You know, like this is super frustrating and I'm not doing a great job here, right? And so what's horrendous there is that the enemy had planted in us these lies to try and divide us from something good God had set up for us. The enemy was trying to divide us at every opportunity because he knew the best thing for me was my wife. The best thing for me was what she was able to offer me at that time. But I was fighting against exactly what I needed. What if every conflict in your life was the result of the enemy trying to keep you from something good? I'm going to say that again because I wrote that and I was like, oh, whoa, like that's hard, right? What if every single conflict right now in your life was the result of the enemy trying to keep you from something good? Our enemy is not against flesh and blood, right? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what that verse says. That's what we have to own our fight is against. We have to make reconciliation a priority. We have to get rid of bitterness in our lives because only then are we going to be able to find the restoration to relationships that God has created for good for us. But too often, bitterness and strife and just nonsense take control and run rampant in our relationships with our close family members, close friends. And it ruins relationships that God had intended mm-hmm. for good. Only once we deal with this can we find restoration. Only once we deal with this bitterness that we carry, with all this, these walls that we build up against each other, and we have our, you know, our spears kind of poking each other, right, in this battle that we find ourselves engaged in. Only once we find restoration in that can we see what God really had intended.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to miss out on in our entire lives. God never meant for conflict for us in any relationship, let alone our families.
Right.
And if we're the believers in that relationship, then we're the ones that have to build the bridge. Amen?
So you're all in agreement. Yes, I want to fight the right enemy. But how easy is that to remember in the midst of a conflict, right? How easy is it? It's not. It's something we know we should do, right? We should turn and be unified against the ultimate enemy, the dark spiritual forces that the Bible talks about. But I'll tell you this, it's hard to do, but we can do it well if we are making our relationship with God a priority. If you are meeting with God regularly in prayer and reading his word, which is that dose of truth that we need every day, you are going to be on your guard against Satan's schemes. The Bible talks about it like putting on the armor of God, right? So that we can withstand the devil's schemes, is what it says. And so we have to make our daily interactions with Jesus the priority. Too often, busyness and negative thought cycles and personal emotions crowd out our time with God. I know he's cute. Everyone, just one more. I mean, he is so cute, my baby, okay? But I'm going to say that again. Too often, it's just funny watching everyone's heads, you know, turn. Too often, our busyness, our negative thought cycles, and our personal emotions and what we get caught up in, they crowd out our time with God. And that, I'll tell you what, the enemy, if he can whittle you down, if he can get you to the point where you're just kind of weak and tired, and then just, bam, throw in a conflict within your family, he loves it because it's division. Right? But in Jesus, we can keep our minds set on the things that we're supposed to, so that when we come to that point, that place in our relationships, we can say, you know what? This is bigger than just this conversation about how you didn't pick up your socks. This is bigger. This is about Satan trying to get in the middle of us and divide. I want to ask you, what enemy are you fighting? Family conflict is a thing. Not one person in here is not facing it at all. Right? Everyone has dealt with that. But what enemy are you fighting? And what can you do to start fighting the right one? What can you implement in your life to make sure that your connection with God is solid, so that you can implement that solid strategy, that solid mindset when the real enemy comes for you? We have to fight the right enemy if we are going to have good, healthy, godly families.
Right. So the next point that we need to make in order for a family to fight well is that we need to fight for a kingdom cause. We have to fight for a kingdom cause. And I love this. There's this rallying cry moment in this passage where I literally like imagine Nehemiah like standing on this big rock, getting up there, and the people are in turmoil and they're afraid, right? And he reads this, he says this passage, right? And it's verse 14 here. It says, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." This is a Braveheart moment, right? Like where Braveheart's riding his horse up and down, and he's like, "We have," you know, like. So this is that kind of a moment, right? It's this massive rallying cry of the people. And what does he start with? He says, "Remember the Lord." Because in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the most trying times, our focus has to be on the Lord. He's the only one that's going to lead us and guide us in the direction in this battle that we're going to know is going to come out in victory. So, remembering God in the midst of this fight will always immediately correct the purpose behind that fight as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about a cause. We have to remember this kingdom cause. This is why we fight for one another in our families. It's not so that our families won't have conflict. It's so that our families will be right before God and can move forward as a unit and be effective for the sake of the kingdom. That's why we do these things. That's why we fight. We cannot fight for our families in the hopes that they adhere to what we want, because then we're just manipulating them into our way of thinking. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference there.
You should say that again.
We cannot fight for our families in the hopes that they adhere to what we want. Because that's just manipulation. That's all that is. Just to make your life easier. I think you should do this way. Why? I like it that way. That's how a lot of conflict starts, though, right? Amen? That's like so much of us, right? And that just stems from a place like, that's not a kingdom cause. And I know it can be petty, little things sometimes, but any source of conflict is going to divide and conquer that military force, right? Mm-hmm. And if your family is going to be a military force for the kingdom, nothing can be there to separate you. Nothing can be in the way of that cohesive force moving forward for the sake of the kingdom. Here's the thing. We have to make sure that our purpose, our cause, is centered on kingdom-mindedness, because armies aren't sent out not knowing their purpose, right? They're not sent out not knowing the cause. They go united in purpose and action in order to achieve the result that their commander is looking for. And if God is our commander, then he set our battle purpose. In order to fight for our family well, we have to train as well as a family to face these objectives. God knows the enemy before us. And if we're not training with our family well, if we're not praying with our family, if we're not raising them up to believe in the commander who's giving us these orders, if we're not showing them what it means to battle together and to fight for each other well for the sake of the kingdom, then we're doing them a disservice as well. Mm-hmm. An army with a commander doing his own thing and the rest of the army has no idea what's going on, right? That's not going to work out well for that commander. He's going to go out into the battle and he's going to be killed immediately. That's just the way it's going to go. You cannot lead your family without training them up as well, without leading them, without telling them, we're in this together. Yeah. Whatever we face shoulder to shoulder, facing out. We never face each other in the midst of a battle. We face out, back to back, because I know I got my family's back. I have my kids' back, and I know that they're going to have mine. Mm-hmm. And those battlegrounds have to happen in prayer. They have to happen in these incredible spiritual moments where we can show our kids not only why we do what we do, but who we do it for. For our Father in heaven and for those around us, so we can fight for them as well.
Right. A lot of us have good intentions with misplaced causes. All right? A lot of us think like, but my intentions are good, but the cause is not a kingdom cause. Like Cody said, maybe it's a more selfish or fear-based cause. And so I'm not going to ask you if you're this kind of parent, but have you ever known someone or have a friend who is a helicopter parent? Okay? You know what I mean? Like that parent that just is like, I don't want to let my kid fall in the dirt. I don't want to, you know, or a codependent parent. I'm not going to ask you if you're that way, if you've ever saved your kid from a failure because you don't want them to hurt, right? Like the intention is good, right? Like I want to rescue my kid when they're in a fight with a friend or when they fall down. You know, have you ever done that with a toddler? There's two different types of parenting. A toddler falls and you're like, no, okay, are you okay? Or there's the parent that's like, you're all right, get up. You know what I'm talking about? So sometimes we rescue as parents because we don't want our kids to hurt, because we have good intentions, but the cause is misplaced, because we all know that failure is a part of life. We all know as adults that you got to learn how to handle when you fall down, because that's the real world, right? You know, it's not an easy thing, because a lot of us have misplaced causes because we have our own agenda. We have our own agendas that we want. In parenting, it's like, I want my kid to turn out A, B, C, and so maybe if I just keep things just so, maybe they'll get there. But that's different than a kingdom cause that says, I want my child to turn out the way that God has intended them to be, and so I got to figure out what does that mean for raising up my girls and now my son. You know, we moved to Arizona, I was told kids are resilient. Ever heard that word? Yeah, well, my oldest daughter was not as resilient as we thought. She had a lot of heartache moving here, and it was surprising because she was just 5 years old, and she would just say things like, why would God ask us to move to Arizona? You know, and I'm thinking as her mom, like, I ruined her life. Like, she thinks God is just this, like, angry person, you know, and doesn't love her. You know, all these things, fears that go through our minds as parents sometimes we raise our kids, right? I don't know if all of you got it figured out, but I'm still trying to figure it out, all right? And so, you know, as Haley's learned how to operate in Arizona, what that means at her school and her friends, whatever, there have been a lot of hard moments. And it has been difficult for me to know when do I rescue and when do I just let her go, right? But when we keep that kingdom cause in front, then I know who gives wisdom. He gives me the wisdom. I can't go with my own power and my own agenda into Haley's life. I have to go first and foremost here to my relationship with God to know, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to rescue in this situation, or am I supposed to let her fall or fail and learn how to work through that with her? You see the difference? A kingdom cause is one that says what you want, how you want me to act, Lord, how I should respond to this. You know, that is difficult because the other person on the other side is not always operating in a kingdom cause, right? Every once in a while, Matt and I are both just like kingdom cause people. We're just like, okay, the overarching thing here is that we want to protect each other. We love each other. How can we communicate most effectively to get through this conflict? But sometimes I'm not on the kingdom cause. It's between 7 and 8 a.m. on a Sunday, and Matt's coming with his kingdom cause, and I'm like, but, you know, whatever, dragon lady, okay? And so it's hard when the other person is not there. But I'll tell you what, I love what it says in Scripture. It says in this verse that the people were unified, and that God frustrated the plan of the enemy because of it. Yep. And I love that. So as we unify and we fight the right enemy and we keep that kingdom cause in front, God is also on that side frustrating the plan, diverting, protecting us. Isn't that awesome? And so we have to keep the kingdom cause in front. Someone said this to me one time. This is for the parents in the room. Don't despise the hard days of parenting. God isn't only shaping your child. He's shaping you. And I just was thinking about that verse in Scripture that says he is making us holy. He's sanctifying us. He's getting out all the brokenness at the root, right, so that we can have victory in this life and the next. And as we go through our parenting, our marriage relationships, the hard days in our relationships with people, he's not only shaping that person, he's also shaping us.
Yeah. So, a couple questions. What cause have you been fighting for in your relationships, in your family, and even your extended family, whatever? What cause have you been fighting for? Have you been fighting for a kingdom cause, or have you been fighting for your cause? Sometimes it's hard to make a distinction, right? But take a moment, please, and just really check yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak in you right now. What cause have you been fighting for? And I'll tell you, you're going to know what cause you're fighting for by the results that you've been getting. Mm-hmm. When we fight for a kingdom cause, we can count on our Father in heaven to thwart the plans of the enemy. Mm-hmm. But when we start fighting for our cause, the enemy can run rampant. We cannot protect ourselves on our own. It takes a higher power. It takes God, who's created us and knows all things and sees all the little angles that the enemy's going to try to get in at us. And it takes somebody like that in our lives saying, we're going to do this your way, not my way, because I can't see all the ins and outs of these relationships in my life. What cause are you fighting for? I'm going to ask this question too, where it's just a little tip. You know, as you go through, there's been times in my life where, like, I don't know how to be a good son to my dad sometimes, right? Or to my mom, or how to be a good brother even to my sisters, or even to my you know, dad to my kids, husband to my wife. But a question that helps me sometimes is, what would a godly parent do? What would a godly son do? What would a godly brother do? What would a godly spouse, right? And that should instantly refocus us on the proper cause. Because it's not going to be about us. You cannot answer that question and have a selfish motive behind it. Mm-mm. It's impossible. And if you can keep that at your forefront, post that somewhere. What would a godly dot, dot, dot do, right? If you can keep that on the forefront of your mind and make every decision based on that, holy cow, can you imagine how different your life would be? Your family's life would be, your extended family, all of your relationships would be drastically changed because of that one decision.
Yeah. All right. So we got to fight the right enemy. We got to fight for a kingdom cause. And the last thing we see is that we don't fight alone. Okay, we don't fight alone. Verse 20 in this Nehemiah passage talks about how when one family was in trouble, Nehemiah instructed them, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, you join us wherever the trumpet sounds. So if there's a family in trouble, we're going to sound the trumpet and we're all going to come running and rushing to their aid to help them, right? Because there they are working together. All right, they got that kingdom cause together. They got they're fighting the right enemy, a weapon in one hand, a shovel in the other. I love that imagery, just that purpose with the shovel and then that unification against the enemy with their weapon. And if an enemy was coming, they would sound the trumpet and everybody would come rushing to that place to help them. I just love that imagery so much about everyone coming to help, because it wasn't just, well, your family has to deal with it on their own. The enemy's coming, don't bother us. You know, in scripture it says they were placed pretty far apart too. And that's why he said this. It's like, I can't see the next family down the line working for their kingdom cause. And so I'm kind of feel a little bit isolated, but as soon as I blow my trumpet, they're all gonna come rushing to my aid. They don't fight alone. You know, that's a challenge to us, right? That we need to ask for help. Some of us don't like it. Some of us are like, I'm not asking for help, right? Why would I? I'm not going to ask other families burdened here, you know, for my family. But also there's a challenge to us that when that trumpet blows, that we also come running. Some of us just need to be more generous, more open to help people that are in trouble, that blow that trumpet in their lives.
Yeah. And here's a hard word about this, right? We, of course, want to encourage anybody to please sound the trumpet. Like, there's too many families we hear about, and it's like, why didn't you say anything? All the time we hear stuff where it's like, you should have said something. We would have loved to go help. We would have been right there with you, fighting right alongside you. But here's another aspect to that. Sometimes in some portions of our lives, we might be tempted to sound the trumpet too often. And we forget the Lord who is great and awesome. And that's the rallying cry again, right? That Nehemiah is trying to teach us. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And any enemy you face, he will vanquish for you. And so sometimes we forget how strong we are as a family unit. If we have God at our forefront, if we're focusing on him in our lives with everything that we do, then that trumpet shouldn't have to be a common occurrence in our lives. But don't let me saying that prevent you, because sometimes our whole family can get overrun. Sickness, death, stuff that we just have never experienced before. Sometimes we get overrun. Sometimes the enemy gets in a back way that we didn't see coming. And all of a sudden, our whole family is kind of a broken mess. Sound the trumpet. Do not hesitate. This is your church family. If you're new here, we want to hear that trumpet sound. Please, we'll be there for you, we promise. We've been in the lowest lows of people's lives with them, and we are there for that, and we love it, because we get to. We get to fight with people. We get to fight alongside people. That's the whole point of this whole thing. And so I want to say, as a church, this looks like Sunday morning is not enough. Sunday morning is not enough to come into community with other believers to sound the trumpet, right? If you want to shore up your battle readiness, right? If you want to shore up your ability to fight, right? There's scripture that says iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? So it takes intimate relationships with others and people who are willing to call out, hey, you're weak in this area. Let's get that stronger so that you can withstand any of the attacks from the enemy and you can be a good partner in battle for your spouse or your kids, right? And so in those moments, we have tribe groups set up. This is a shameless plug, but it's a plug that's necessary. It's a plug that's necessary. We have tribe groups for a reason. We don't just do it for funsies, right? Like, These tribe groups are our main source of discipleship, and so we break down the sermon every week so that you can go to these things and you can get in depth with the questions and the topics that we're talking about so that you can own them for yourselves, not just hear about it and then walk out. We are not naive here. We know that you might remember one thing we say. As soon as like this, these lights come on and those doors open, it's like, okay, well, whatever, Memorial Day, woo! You know, like, we get it, because half the time I don't remember what happens on a Sunday. I understand, right? But here's the thing, like, you have to set up those accountability relationships in your life, right? And that's what tribe groups does. And we also are starting accountability groups. We're starting with a men's accountability group, and we're going to be moving into hopefully a women's accountability groups, groups of three or four people that you can join, and they're going to be there for you. You'll meet weekly, maybe less often, but just as a source for you to be real with somebody, pour everything out, and they will hold you up. They will be the ones then that come running first, probably, when you sound those trumpets. That is what the body is for, okay? We are not meant to be in battle alone as a family. We have to have backup, and sometimes backup is required in our lives. So do not be afraid to sound that trumpet, but also set yourself up to train well so that you can fight for others as well.
Oh. I was just like, this is so good right now. Just like, keep going. Oh, yeah, I have to say something. We're going to invite the worship team forward. Also, I'd like you to give us big props. Cody and I are trying to preach a little bit shorter, and we did that. So can you just say thank you to us? Yeah. We were listening to our podcast for like 47 minutes. Oh,
47. Gosh. 59.
That was bad. We're sorry. We recognize it, and we know. Okay. With that said, we know that God is moving in a big way in our church. We know we did this series on purpose because we have been seeing people kind of struggle through, what does this look like in my marriage? And like kind of running in that circles or negative cycles, fighting with each other, not for each other. And so we're going to go into a time of worship, and I know the way that God works, and I just feel him here this morning. I was just so engulfed in it, that God is impressing on your heart some of these truths, right? Some of you are right now in conflict, and you're just trying to figure out, what is my role in this? How do I approach it? What do I do? And maybe you haven't been trying to figure it out. You've just been kind of handling it, and it's not going well, right? I know, because I also have family relationships in my own life. And I'll tell you what's so amazing, that quote that someone told me is so true, that as you work through this, God begins to bring up things that need healing and redemption, things the enemy has tried to steal from you. He begins to restore as you allow him to come in and speak that wisdom to you. As you work through these conflicts, I want to remind you that no conflict, no relationship is just so far gone that it just is, that's it. Just cut it out. There's no relationship so far gone. And I know that because our God died on a cross. It looked so far gone. We were so far away from relationship with him. And we were just evil. And he said, you know what? It's never too late. I'll give everything so that you can have hope in your relationships with me and with each other. It's amazing what he did. It's a miracle the way the Holy Spirit comes in and equips us in the midst of our conflicts with other people. So I'm going to have you bow your heads, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning, to take this word, this truth, and implement it into your own life. Because like Cody said, Memorial Day is waiting, right? There's barbecue and family get-together, so this is probably a really good word for you before you go into time with your family. But I want to ask you, if you are someone this morning that realizes, you know what, I've been fighting with my family, not for them. I'm fighting with my family, not for them. And I'm right now just going to say, I'm turning my attention to the right enemy. Would you just raise your hand? I'm going to fight the right enemy. Awesome, guys. It's so amazing. If you're hearing, you know, we got to fight for a kingdom cause. It can't be our own agenda that we fight for, our own selfishness or our own fear or our own, you know, a lack of wisdom, but we got to fight for God's cause in our own lives and the lives of our family members. And you're realizing, I've had my own agenda, and no more. I'm going to fight for his cause. Would you just raise your hand? Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask two questions here. The point was, don't fight alone. Are you someone that has a problem asking for help? Someone that has a problem asking for help, and you want to just begin that journey to say, you know, I'm not going to be prideful anymore or ashamed of, you know, whatever my family dynamic. Let me just tell you right now, it is what it is, okay? Sometimes we need help, and you just want to surrender that pride and just say, you know, I'm just going to admit sometimes I need help. Would you just raise your hand? That's awesome. Awesome. If you're someone that realizes, you know what? Sometimes I blow the trumpet when actually that's just kind of a crutch I lean on because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but I know I need to work through this by myself with God, right? There's that aspect of it too. I need to figure out who I am. He's given me the tools. He's given me the community. I just need to implement them before I blow the trumpet. Will you just raise your hand? Awesome. That's great. That's great. Holy Spirit, would you just come now? Father, we invite you into this time. Lord, you're moving in this place and we recognize it. Lord, we even feel you right now that some of us have an angst in our chest or an angst in our hearts because we're just not sure how is this going to work out. But Lord, even now I just feel you invading those places, softening, ushering in peace. Where there's been anxiety or anger or frustration, ushering in hope where we've just felt like it's so far gone, ushering in just an excitement and a new wisdom and vision for our families, for our marriages, for our relationships with our parents, with our kids. God, you are working right now, Lord, and it's miraculous. You're filling it up, this place, filling us up. Give you full reign right now, Father. Push out the enemy from this place. God, we are all right now in agreement, unified, fighting the right enemy. Even now, just sitting in this place to say, you know what? My eyes stay on Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would use this time for reconciliation, spiritual reconciliation, God. Use this time for removal of bitterness. Lord, I pray that a spirit of forgiveness would reign in this place. God, would you just help us forgive? Let it go. Put it in your hands, God. You are our defender. We don't have to be. Lord, I pray in this time that you would unite husbands and wives, children, siblings, friends, neighbors, God. Mothers, daughters, Father, you just do it. We love you. Lord, even this moment, we're so overwhelmed with gratitude for what you're doing, for how timely your word is. It's so timely. You're always right on time to speak what we need to hear. Thank you. Thank you.